evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness with my great co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Good evening, Ronnie.
Good evening. How you doing, Jackie?
I'm fabulous. And you?
Just great. It's hot there and cool here, but that's okay.
Tonight's show, Standing at the Crossroads, How the Dark Shadow Can Hold Us Back from Light Outcomes for Ourselves and Our Planet.
Sounds like a political show.
Right. No, not hardly. So before we begin, of course, we've got some great emails from people. We love you. Thank you for sending them in. As always, you're wonderful and entertaining. First one is concerning last week's Firing the Grid. Let me tell you my experience concerning Fire the Grid. It's a great story. I told a few people at work about Fire the Grid and to try to pray or meditate at that time if they could. A couple laughed at me. Oh, sure, Joni, we after working all evening, we're going to go home, go to sleep, wake up at 3:45 to pray and meditate. Well, guess what? The very people that thought, no way, were they going to wake up and do this, this is what one lady's testimony to me was. Joni, what were you wearing last night? Because I saw you wearing a green top in my dream state. You were saying you have to wake up and pray. This is very important. She said she couldn't sleep if she tried. She got up and prayed with the rest of us. I love this. Another lady said she couldn't sleep because the energy was so strong. So did another cynical coworker of mine that believes in none of this. He said he could not sleep. Now, as for me, I wanted to sleep through this time, and I couldn't have. The energy was strong at 3:40. I was literally told by my higher guides, get out of bed now. Now, I worked the night before, so I was very tired, but suddenly after 3 hours of sleep, I was up and ready to go.
Yay.
I'd done the harmonic convergence years ago, but nothing like this. The energy was so strong. I put my hand palms up in the air to feel that energy. It was incredible. I had told my chiropractor the day before this that I was doing this, and he said for as many people that are going the positive, there will be ones that are doing the opposite. I said, well, I can't worry about what others are doing. I'm responsible for what I do, and I'm doing this. You were reading those emails tonight filled with negative thought and fear, and I agreed with what you said about putting out your intention for the good, for the healing, and that is what you will experience. I believe that. I felt nothing but very good energy. I do not believe that any ET is trying to use us vulnerable souls that so desperately want the good. If anything, the ETs woke me up to this. I asked them and my guides to wake me up at a certain time, and believe me, they did. This is the truth. I also know there will always be the people out there that question everything. I think it's important that one pays attention to what they themselves do and be responsible for that intention. As for others, they are responsible for their own intentions. I cannot worry about what others' intentions are. I'm too strong in my own, and I know a lot of good people out there feel the very same way. They are all welcome to their thoughts and opinions because that's where they are on their journey. But where I am, I can honestly say, is a very high vibration, and I loved sharing the meditation and channeling with BBS Radio on this very special night. It was wonderful.
What a great email.
Yeah.
I was, all the waking up and stuff, I call it U-mail, universal mail. It's a good system, isn't it?
It's absolutely the best.
You bet.
Let's see, I think doing the earth-based chakra through the feet on a daily basis is a good thing, too. Now, for those of you that have done the chakra activations, this is the chakra below the feet, anywhere from 4 to 40 feet below the feet. And when you're in it, what you do is you send crystalline roots into the planet thousands of miles and then fire the grid, which we've been doing for a very, very long time, far before all of this. And literally fire your energy into the grid and travel. Literally, you split off in every direction, circling the entire planet. And for those of you that want to, you can spend, you know, or focus more energy on areas that are in great need, like Iraq, and there's so many places. Africa, North Korea. And we're going to see more, by the way. Thank you and the team for the gift of... Let's see, wait a minute. Did we finish this one? Just my thoughts, Jackie, but I wanted to share them with you and Veronica. I wonder how many people could not sleep throughout the world that were not aware of what we were all doing but felt this incredible high energy, so high they couldn't sleep. Yes, this is a very positive thing to do, and the impact of this experience will be felt a long time to come. I really do believe this. Can't wait to do this again. I just want to say this, that, we talked about this last week, that the energies, and I almost every session we've been working with people to retune their chakras to match the new resonance of the planet. It's just been amazing that, and it's not a sign that people, and I want to say this to all of you, if you're feeling exhausted right now, or if you're feeling, whichever, please do not assume that if you're, a friend of yours is feeling highly energized and you're exhausted, that there's something wrong with you. A lot of people that we work with here, I found, these are people that are so dedicated in their work with the planet, and they put out huge energy and just got a little bit more whacked. And it really depends on our individual frequencies. It really has nothing to do with somebody who is less or more evolved. So please be sure assured of that one. And this letter was from Joni. And Joni, we love you. You're the best. Keep it up, honey. You're great. I had another one. Thank you and the team for the gift of power retrieval. This is somebody that listens to the show. I had a moving experience last night. I sensed such deep joy, peace, security, love, and family connection that was long forgotten, pushed aside in my earthly experience. I was aboard a palatial luxury craft filled with many rooms of both earthly and stellar delights. Arboretums with fountains, ponds, and plants from other dimensions and star systems. But most heart-moving was meeting a group of young ladies. There was one I felt a deep connection with, like a father to a daughter. She was beautiful with almond-shaped eyes, stunning facial features, milky, almost translucent skin, and long jet black hair. I could sense that she had both human and stellar genes. We exchanged a paternal embrace, her lab coat clued me into her vocation as a research scientist. I was in such a state of expanded consciousness. Was this the treat you mentioned the team had orchestrated? Actually, he's been getting them all week, some of which I can't write about and share on air. We're having a lot of people right now who are having extraordinary dream state experiences. A lot of them aboard ship, or having beings in their room and having, really beautiful experiences. I'm seeing so much more interaction occurring. Not only are the sightings certainly ramping up again in an extraordinary fashion, but also definitely people are having amazing experiences. Another one, Ronnie, for you and I. Dear Jackie and Ronnie, thank you both for another thought-provoking show last week. I appreciate the comments about Fire the Grid. I have felt an energy shift since then, and which has created a feeling of exuberance, somewhat like drinking 5 or 6 double espressos nonstop.
I agree with that, actually.
Yes, I agree, too. I must say, much of my 3D responsibilities have taken a back seat to enjoying this high-octane ride. I love this one. Another comment I would like to make is in regard to the power retrievals I've done with you, Jackie, and the team. We've done my mother and father, and I've been able to experience the reclamation of my power from my parents in living color as they are visiting me this week. Well, I must say I have seen the light. My mother has a tendency to beat a dead horse, and not only can she beat it, she's completely capable of resurrecting it as well.
You can beat it again.
When she was in one of her drama stories, I spoke up and said, "Stop, I do not want to hear this anymore. It's too negative, and the more you talk about it, the more you feed it, and it takes on a life of its own." She stopped. I had a similar situation with my father. I spoke up and called him on it. I felt so much better that I probably increased the energy to my throat chakra by 20%.
Wow.
Adios to shame and guilt. This recovering Catholic is not playing your game anymore. Now, this is the real awakening for me. Everything my parents did or said was how I lived my life. This is very significant. And was what I used to say or believe. In that regard, I had compassion for them because they made me address my shadow side. It was as if I was seeing myself in high definition. The best makeup artist could not mask these battle scars. I felt compassion for myself, too, and I know I would not have seen through this illusion without the amazing healing from the power retrieval.
Wow.
Here are a few questions I have from last week's show. If there is no time, then did the harmonic convergence and fire the grid happen simultaneously, and we are only now able to acknowledge this shift in consciousness after fire the grid? And the answer to that, my answer, and Ronnie, I'd like to hear yours as well.
Well, I think it's a tricky question, right?
Well, there is no time, and all things really are simultaneous, but as long as we're human at this timing, we are still experiencing time in a linear fashion. So at this juncture, we are now capable of at least toying with the concept that they're all happening at the same time. And if we were living in just the one now moment, we could literally go back and forth between each experience and re-experience it as it was happening in the now moment, which is where we are going as we ascend into fifth dimension, where we will be able to tap into every life experience that we've ever had and call on that knowledge and those life experiences from every lifetime, which is a whole nother show that we will definitely do, Ronnie, because that's going to be a lot of fun.
I want that one to be experiential for us all, eh?
Yes. Well, anyone who's worked with Bashar over a period of time, especially in the very beginning when I would go to his live channels when he was doing it here in Las Vegas, what was interesting is that people would come up and ask to be scanned and or ask questions, and Bashar would defer oftentimes to another of his lifetimes to address the question because that lifetime had a more appropriate answer.
Hmm.
So that is where we're going, guys. And like I said, that's a whole other show. What happens to the souls who choose not to embrace the ascension? Did they come here to facilitate raising the frequency of planet Earth and then got totally stuck in the mandatory amnesia that they have no idea why they are in this incarnation? Will they continue to live in 3D and perpetuate duality? Will they ultimately ascend, but at a different pace? And what are they feeling right now? And these are all great, great questions. And again, this is, you know, we're going to do, I think, a whole show on the ascension thing. I don't think it's this month, but we don't have anything left this month, but definitely it's on the horizon. And I'll just address this one in a very brief way, which is to say, our Earth is splitting apart, just like a cell divides itself. And if we can go back to the whole concept of Atlantis. And I don't like to do the doomsday destruction thing because I'm not going to say it from that perspective. Those that are ready to make the ascension will start going into the higher vibrations and frequencies ahead of others to kind of hold the energy, if you will. I think a lot of us are starting to experience in the dream state being in those higher frequencies already.
Mm-hmm.
Those that aren't ready to go, and, you know, we've got some time yet, guys. There'll be a lag time in which others can then cross into it. And there are going to be some that have chosen to stay in third dimension. They're stuck to the point of wanting power over others and misusing and abusing power, hurting other people. And
or totally unaware of options in consciousness.
Right. And, you know, there are a lot of people that are unaware of options, Veronica. But, you know, and I'm sure you've met people as I have that live very simple lives and yet live metaphysical principles.
Yes.
And, you know, I would say those people are going for the, you know, there are going to be some that, as with Atlantis, that experienced the destruction, and there were those that went on who didn't buy into the fear that went on to the other Atlantis. You know, I say this often. You know, her question, will they ultimately ascend at a different pace? Yes. What are they feeling right now? From what I perceive, you know, people are acting out, getting absolutely crazy. We're seeing it in traffic. We're seeing it with these bizarre actions, brutality. We're seeing the people acting out with their shadow through animals, not only with this football player, but on the news here in Las Vegas, there are all kinds of which I had no idea, and I certainly didn't want to hear that this is happening all over, that people are with primarily pit bulls, like they used to have cockfights, again, playing out this shadow stuff. So, you know, we're getting the light side of it and the dark side of it.
Well, you know, Abraham said that, you know, Abraham, the channel being.
Absolutely.
And he says that the world has never been as peaceful as it is right now. And which is interesting, because if you think about it and think of the brutality amongst humanity, it's been very, very intense for the millennium, hasn't it?
It has, but it's only because we now, you know, get such quick information and the sensationalization. And yet, in reality, I would say that that's probably true.
I want to say one other thing about going back to the harmonic convergence and the fire of the grid is that one of the biggest differences that's really obvious, I know that, is that in fire of the grid, it was such a global operation, much more alert that way than the harmonic convergence in a way. And to me, the frequencies, the kind of frequencies that we're bringing on through are a little different. There's kind of a different rolling one in the convergence that was sort of setting up more of a, I guess, an earlier force back to using time. And this one has been quite a little bit more like cracking the whip or something.
I would agree with you, Veronica. You know, the harmonic convergence was literally we were at a crossroads then as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't take, you know, this is where the whole concept of how many people it takes to make change, not anywhere close to the number of people that participated in Fire the Grid. Also,
it was kind of a funky little group in a certain way, from a certain perspective.
Absolutely.
Like, what do other people think? Some people think nothing's really changing.
Well, you know, we were way ahead, you know, in terms of timing, we were certainly out there and ahead of our time, taking a stand. You know, and I think the people that participated in the harmonic convergence, many of them are very active in today's world in terms of the metaphysical community.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't have handled the kinds of frequencies that we dealt with on the 17th, not then.
No.
And so there was certainly participation from the other side of the veil with the harmonic convergence, but this time, this was huge. It was absolutely huge. On all levels, and I agree. I don't think I've talked to anybody that could have slept through it. Let's see, what else does she... I love her questions. Can they sense that some of us have evolved and are not the same person they remember from before? I guess I'm having some difficulty in relating to some souls right now. Yes. okay, you're going to find that there are going to be people falling away and basically kind of disappearing from your purview. You're also going to find some people that you may have distanced in the past coming back in quite strong. Her question is, if I can't resonate with them anymore, will they please leave me alone and go away?
Well, then we do more power retrieval, right?
Really?
That's the answer, isn't it? You go do a power retrieval. Don't worry about the people, in a way.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is an interesting one. This kind of leads us into tonight. Hi, Jackie. I saw you in a dream yesterday morning, but I don't remember what you were saying. I'll trust that whatever the message is that I got it on the inner level. It was something encouraging because I remember that things are malleable, so not to take life so seriously. You see, I started to feel despair again after my meeting with the gallery. Although the agent liked the work, he wasn't able to help me. It just confirmed that succeeding in the fine art world and having representation is no different than the commercial world. You need an agent and clients and money. It's the consensus reality of the struggling artist. Unless you're rich or have another source of income, have lineage in the arts, have patrons and supportive influential contacts, etc. It's such an expensive profession to maintain, to produce the work, to promote the work, to make the rounds, to connect with the right people. I know success is a relative thing, but it's not easy to maintain that high resonance when I don't know where my next paycheck is coming and I'm faced with bills and increasing debt. I'm questioning if doing photography is really what excites me the most because business and income are not flowing with ease. It's not supporting me financially. I get excited when I'm in the creative process and capturing what inspires me. However, without income to support that process, it doesn't follow through. I've been committed to this career for over 15 years, and I don't know what else to do. I've accomplished very much and have had short moments of prosperity, fleeting moments because I don't know how to market my work to follow the momentum and to make money with it. There's a blockage to my abundance, and I want to remove it. Can you offer me some advice from your perspective? I wish my team would tell me what I should do that brings me the highest joy and take care of all the financial details and provide the money and resources I need. Maybe they're trying and I haven't heard. They have to make it very obvious, loud and clear, for me to get the message. Can you send the team to help me have clarity about how to have income and to help me hold the resonance so I have more than enough money, support, and resources and to feel safety and trust? I sent her a great article on manifestation, and it was really, the article talked about, you know, our focus on our thoughts and so on, and she wrote back, "Thanks for sending this. It did make me laugh a little, such discipline to be constantly aware of what we are thinking and creating at all times. And then there are the unconscious and subconscious. I just want to create having income and work every month. That's not asking for the world. It shouldn't be that difficult to manifest, right? The roller coaster or treadmill of challenges on planet Earth, the slumber of forgetfulness, I forget why I chose to come here to experience duality and limitation. Can you remind me, please? Just kidding." "Hi, Jackie. I'd like to let you know that the aliens did make a visit to my house." This is someone who had worked with Adrian DeVere, one of my mentors, before he crossed over in 2004. "To my house on Tuesday night when I was in the shower, they talked to me and they told me about what they see about myself from the outside and what needs to be fixed. Also, yesterday they did make some tests on me." His language is a little broken. "One where I had a pain in my head for 5 minutes. It felt like someone is pushing my head. It was on the left side of my head, and I never had any pain in my head before. Also, yesterday later in the day, at about 10:30, I did feel like in my veins like someone stuck a needle in it to give blood that was on my left hand." Now, you know, I included this one because for people that make appointments, they do receive visits prior to their first session.
Mm.
And there are oftentimes a series of tests and things that are done. And this young man had conversed with them when he was working with Adrian, and he had so desired to have that experience again. He has some unusual brain. Again, some of these young people are wired very differently, and so they're far more comfortable working on the other realms than they are in the physical. So I want to, interesting you brought up Abraham, Ronnie, because I just wanted to read this piece from Abraham before we get into the real show tonight. As non-physical source energy expressing through your physical experience, is truly the leading edge of thought. And as you are fine-tuning your creative experience, you are taking thought beyond that which it has ever been before. By the way, the title of this, You Did Not Come to Fix a Broken World. As you enthusiastically made the decision to come into this physical body and create in this way, you understood from your non-physical vantage point that this physical world was not broken and in need of repair, and you did not come forth to fix it. You saw this physical world as a creative environment in which you and everyone else could express yourselves creatively. You did not come forth to try to get others to stop doing what they are doing and do something else. You came forth understanding the value in the contrast and the balance in the variety. Every physical being on your planet is your partner in co-creation. And if you would accept that and appreciate the diversity of beliefs and desires, all of you would have more expansive, satisfying, and fulfilling experiences. Truly, we did not come to fix what was broken. We came to create and co-create a new earth with spirit. We're not healing what is broken. We are creating a wonderful and miraculous new earth where the water will be pure and clear and where the cetaceans will live as honored beings in a crystalline ocean. Indeed, we create the earth anew every day, and every day we have the opportunity to co-create a more vibrant and loving reality. We are becoming more powerful and skilled as creators and manifestors with the help of spirit and also the crystalline children. I thought this was an interesting piece to kind of start tonight because the media is feeding us constantly, everything possible that's negative. And if we listen to the media, we don't see any solutions. This is where we end up going to the part of, oh, God, we wish they'd land so they could fix it for us because we don't see how we can possibly do it. And I think if individually, you know, Ronnie, and I'm going to pose it, if someone had said to you, do you believe that you're powerful enough, you know, to fire the grid on your own and make a difference? And I think what's interesting is that we've been firing the grid for, I don't know, probably a year and a half, 2 years. And I have always felt that individually we were having a huge impact. And I think it's very important for everyone. You know, again, it's the shadow that holds us back from believing that we are powerful enough to have impact. It's those beliefs that are sitting in the shadow, what parents told us and society told us and kids told us and, you know, even 3- and 5-year-olds. You're fat, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're poor, whatever.
Who do you think you are?
Who do you, there you go, that's the one.
Yeah.
Since the firing of grid, you know, what I've seen during the sessions and from many, many, many phone calls from friends and clients, as only, well as my own experience, is that we are at another crossroads. And we're standing poised, ready to leap, and yet held back by all that we've not dealt with. Those things that we've either stuffed in the shadow or hope would get resolved on their own, not.
How can we clear it all out, Jackie? We can't, can we?
Well, you know, I just want to go over, you know, some of the things that I'm seeing here that are the key issues that are showing up. And, you know, I'm a big believer in empowerment and, you know, taking your power back, whether it was stripped or taken, and also those that hold power that they never even took from you, mm-hmm. but literally have held power for you, for you, coming into this lifetime. There are no bit players right now in your life experience. Whoever you're related to, who is around you, who you consider, you know, the people closest to you, whether you like them or not, they came in. I mean, this was a big orchestration for this lifetime. And I've seen this over and over where the peripheral people are holding key issues, not only in past lifetimes, but in power retrieval. You know, in-laws, you know, you name it. There just are no bit players right now. And so, you know, until we get in there, we really don't know what's being held for us. You know, I go back to a session I did with someone that I just adore, and we did her grandfather, and he never took power from her. That was never his desire, but he held tremendous power, literally waiting for her. In other words, she couldn't have held it all in this lifetime until she was ready. She was ready now, and there he was with this incredible gift, even though he had crossed over, holding all this power that she could then embrace and use to go through a very tumultuous time in her life right now. The loss of her father, and her mother is in early stage as well. Not really early. A rapidly accelerated Alzheimer's. And this all happened within, you know, a month. And so that power was what she needed in order to be able to walk through all of this. In addition to picking up and leaving, you know, a place where she had lived for most of her life and moving to the other side of the country with no job. So, again, you know, the tools are there for us. And they are being held all around us. All around us. Even lovers and exes, you know, ex-wives, husbands, siblings. I mean, Ronnie, you've participated in this and certainly seen for yourself.
Oh, I'm sort of shocked at some of the entanglements. I'm not thinking so much of someone holding my power. I don't think we encountered that yet. But certainly the amount of power that was limited or capped, if you will.
Right.
In myself from my attachments, basically. That's really been startling for me. And certainly has changed my relationship with a number of people. You know, those old nicks and pulls and boings and all that stuff that comes when you've got some issues with people, those seem to be gone. You know, I haven't pushed it. I haven't gone, you know, dancing in somebody's door to just check it out. But, you know, emails or general connections with people, those old issues that pressured me seem to be quite gone, actually.
Pressured and triggered.
Yeah, triggered. That's a better word.
Yes.
But I realize that I need to do some more. So it's like you said the exes. It's my first husband. I need to do some. I didn't think I had anything, but as the more clear we get, the more you start realizing how you're still being held back or tethered by some connections there, you know.
Well,
self-identification,
yeah,
is a better way.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I think also, and what I'm seeing is that our higher selves and our guides, you know, star families, are orchestrating. They're really bringing this stuff up for everybody. Triggering, you know, interesting experiences before every session, at least this is my experience, where something has happened within a matter of a days or a week that they know, okay, I guess I've got to do this person. I thought I was going to do this, but this came up, and I know I need to deal with it. And certainly I had that myself with a former husband, and it started showing up, and it was aggravating me. You know, it was just, he was making comments to my son that were triggering me.
It's like a conveyor. This is your next person. Trigger.
Well, and I'd already done one with him, and I thought, you know, I didn't check for hooks. And today I went back and did a full session myself with him, and the hooks actually were physically painful to remove.
Wow.
And they were located in places that I was having discomfort with no diagnosable problem.
Hmm.
In other words, it wasn't, you know, one was in my left ovary, which has been, you know, it would, because I'm, you know, still obviously doing some form of ovulation. You know, they're playing with my hormones all the time. And so the left ovary and pain under my left rib cage, and literally as these hooks were coming out, I was in physical discomfort in those very places, and I was fascinated by the amount of physical discomfort. What I found was interesting is after I did the session with him, I'm no longer triggered.
Well, what's interesting to me is talking about that before you did the session, and I saw very clearly these certain kinds of intertwinings amongst the souls, and there's this dark, resistant part in him that finds you very challenging. I don't see any of that right now. He looks kind of clear and, you know, like he's doing his own thing. It's like, it's quite funny.
Well, you know, unfortunately, what I realize is that he never was really able to have a healthy relationship since our divorce, and I've always wanted that for him. And during the power retrieval, I realized that, because I took hooks out of him as well, that this could set him free.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really very rewarding to me to realize that this was a mutual gift, not just for me.
Well, what's funny to me, and I'm just being intuitive here looking at him, he looks like he's been disrupted in a way where he feels probably a little bit zany, a little bit unbalanced, a little bit kind of ditzy, and yet okay, you know?
You mean since the retrieval?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would probably be right.
So it's sort of fun for me to watch going on. Too bad we can't interview the people on the other that we're really taking.
Well, Ronnie, we've got you. We can do it.
So you may have less problem with him, but probably most of the time there is some feedback still.
Well, you
a
know,
lashback or tiny bit, I think.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, because I got very, very clear that I still had some anger sitting in there. The fact that he would make the comments that he made triggered me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was my sign, and that I had to go in and do this. If anything triggers me, I don't let it sit there because I know better. That means it's time. That's my higher self knocking at my door.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about value, Ronnie, because you've had an interesting time this week with value.
I have?
Yes, you have. We had an interesting conversation about your value.
That's right.
You've been wanting to go out and, you know, go to an ashram or do what, feeling as though there's something else trying to emerge and wanting to become more and more. And my comments to you are always, you're so much if you would only value all that you already are.
Yeah, that's right. You said that. But it actually, it didn't trigger me in a negative way. It pushed my energy, because what I was saying to you is I get this push inside. I feel like there's a membrane around some creative force or some opening, like my brain's got a membrane on it, and I want it to open. I want something to happen. But after we had that talk, it's funny, it sent that anxiety in a different direction in myself, and I began to really appreciate the wonders of my beingness, and I feel much better. Mind you, I sat in a dentist's office for 3 hours, too.
I'm so glad, because you are so magnificent, and I want to say this to all of you.
But you know what? I just want to say this. I'm so magnificent, and I came out with 2 crowns today.
The double queen. So for all of you listening tonight, If you're not valuing yourself, you're not going to go very far. It's really that simple. And you need to spend time journaling, writing about who you are now. All the work you've done, all of your dedication to get where you are now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
This has been the work that you came to do. This is work for your soul, for your higher self, for your planet, for the cosmos. You know, as Abraham said, you are working with thought here in a place of polarity. What you're doing here is so magnetized that the ramifications of what you're doing, you don't fully realize yet. You do not realize yet. Over and over again, I've said, you are all heroes. But nobody wants to own that. Okay, I'm a hero when and if and when I do this and when I have that. No, you're a hero now.
Mm.
All of you. I have never met more courageous people, more dedicated people than doing this work. I'm in awe every single freaking day.
Mm.
Of everyone, and how many beings are around all of you, the activity that goes on around all of you, the orchestration. I mean, you're all, believe it or not, you've got corporations working around you.
And there's a funny, capricious thing that happens in my mind as we're creating and creating our reality and creating that awareness of options in every given second. I just get this feeling of like, oh, I just shifted the whole world, you know, by shifting that mental choice or that thought choice. And that reminds me how powerful we really are.
That's absolutely right, Ronnie. You're absolutely right. And, you know, in doing the power retrievals, between the shoulder blades, behind the heart, when you look in there, there is a universe. You know, we've heard this from others. You are your own universe. And only now the reality of that is setting in ways that I can't even imagine. I just keep playing with this going, I can't even write this. I need someone with special effects to do this for me. I have to do a movie or something because there's just no way.
Yay! That's a great idea.
Okay.
a series.
Okay. Again, you need to own that you're incredible spiritual beings. I don't care what you're doing for a living. I don't care if you're scrimping pennies to pay your rent or not pay it. If you're holding out value and gratitude and love of self for when, whatever that when is, it's not going to happen. You can't create it that way. It's like having your foot nailed to the floor and you just keep walking in a circle. And remember that over time on this planet, you've forgotten through the circumstances of your life who you are. The other one, victim, martyr, and blame. Oh, God. These will kick your ass. I don't care if I can say that on the air or not. It's that simple. And this goes back to what I said earlier. Every single person is playing a role. When we make the shift and they take off their mask, everybody's going to be shocked as hell. You know? you choose your race, your gender, your circumstances for a reason. And, you know, it's, again, journal. What was I setting up? You know, if I look at my life, what was this about? You know, what did I come here to work with? And what's holding me back? And if you're feeling victimized or you're feeling martyred or you're blaming anyone, you can't get there. You can't take the road when you stand at that crossroads. You can't do it. And I want to say here, Lazaris.com, LAZARIS.com. The link is on my website under recommendations and something or other. You'll find it. When you go there, go on to the little link that says tapes and CDs and DVDs and search each word individually, martyr, victim, and blame, and tapes will come up. The Lazarus material, the tools, are brilliant. And they're as powerful as they were the day that they were recorded. But those issues right now are so critical to where we all are. If you're in a sense of victim or blame or martyr, I can tell you, I lost everything, and I did it twice. I didn't just do it once. I did it twice. And in both situations, I spent years waiting to be vindicated for people to do the right thing. Can I tell you? Nothing happened. And I'll never say I wasted time because that, but I could have used my energy to be the creator that I truly am, to create a whole new life and experience for myself without getting into and staying in martyr and victim and blame. Now, did I choose to experience those in totality so I'd understand? Obviously I did. And I did a bang-up job. And I will tell you, I really did a bang-up job. I own that totally. Intention and attention. These are huge. What are you paying attention to? Every time you look at a situation, you get to interpret it. Every single situation. The temptation for all of us, the temptation is to go to the immediate response, which is something's wrong with me, something's wrong, this fell out, that didn't work, what's wrong with me? Or then, again, favorite Lazarus, waiting for the other shoe to drop. Well, if this happened, oh, God, that's right behind it. The shift in consciousness is, obviously, there's a reason something else is coming in to fill its place. But you have to really be in that belief totally. And I don't care if you have to say it 1,000 times a day. Every experience is neutral. I get to choose the outcome. I intend to experience only good from this. Not the highest good. I intend to experience only good, period. Don't make it so airy-fairy that your subconscious doesn't believe it.
Mm.
Your subconscious needs it short and sweet. I intend to experience only good from this. Period. It's neutral. Everything is really neutral. Now, that's tough. I mean, I know it's tough. I've lived it. Everybody, I never say anything to anyone that I haven't walked through myself, ever. But your intention for your life, I want to say this also. Where we are right now, our intention, whether it's to be, a writer or a speaker or whatever, at this juncture, I would say to everyone, this is my intention, or something greater, or something more appropriate, because our higher selves, our souls, and ourselves in the dream state are all orchestrating where we're going. I never sat around and said, I want to be a healer, ever. Ever. It was not in my purview. I knew something was coming. I didn't know what it was. And I tried to stay open every moment, every day, and follow every little sign. That I did do. And the signs started coming. And they came pretty strong. But I was in a state of joy at the anticipation of something wonderful coming, not knowing what it was. It's an interesting paradox. Waiting for someone to save you or do it for you. This is, I think more women get trapped up in this. Ronnie, what do you think in terms of
Yeah, I think that's true. I'm just trying to see if that's what I was doing. I probably was waiting for solutions or something to really be concrete that I would be safe in that description when I was going through a process of transformation.
All right.
All of a sudden there'd be the job, the person, the man, the book, whatever. That didn't work either.
You know, there was a great movie, Fools Rush In, and every time I watch it, it makes me cry. It was actually filmed in Las Vegas. And in one of the scenes, there's a priest outside, and he's saying, the signs are everywhere. And every time I hear that, and there were signs all over, you know, during this scene in the movie. And it makes me cry because I fully believe that there are signs everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get so myopic, we don't see the signs. And
well, you were just saying before we started the show that it's interesting. We want to create something in our future, but we, in our determination about what we're trying to create, we might miss signs, or we would have expectations that would block some change in, you know, maybe what it is we want to create. We'll have a different point of view or a different description, but we could block all that and miss the signs, couldn't we?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was doing investigations for an attorney when all this happened to me. And when I got the signs, I said, I'm leaving town for 9 days. And he said, oh, no, you can't. And I said, yes, I am. I had never done anything like that. I'm super responsible.
Hmm.
And I said, I'm going to a conference. I'm supposed to be there. I don't know why, but I'm supposed to be there. And I remember packing, you know, and my girlfriend was over. We were drinking wine, and I'm packing, and I'm singing, I'm coming out. I had no idea I'm coming out to what, but I knew I was coming out. And I was laughing that they had me pack every fluffy thing I owned. I looked like I'd walked out of Hollywood for the whole conference. So.
What was the conference? Are we allowed to ask?
Yes, it was a UFO conference, first one I'd ever gone to, and it was in Laughlin, Nevada.
Wow.
It was hysterical because I was so overdressed, but for whatever reason, I was in a very celebratory mood. And, of course, this is when it all took place. And
that's when you made your connections and really began your unraveling.
Everything happened.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely everything.
Hmm.
And this waiting for someone to do it for you is also women who are waiting for a mate, you know, waiting for a sign, you know, waiting for something. And it's about you. Take the steps. If you want to write, start writing. If you want to speak, start speaking. If you start doing something.
Because it will change. If you want to clarify where your goal is and follow your higher purpose, it will change for you too, won't it?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
You know, I had a client, and this is goes back a couple of years, probably. And during the channelings, they saw a book, and they started telling her about some of the things that she could write about. And she was kind of looking around about, you know, do I want to do seminars on marriage and this and that? And they said, no, there's a book. And they gave her all this advice about calling in all these different beings and even calling in writers on the other side and, you know, calling in the masters and, you know, all of the team. And this book is imbued, and it is creating such a stir. The endorsements now are moving to amazingly famous people, and she's been invited to speak with some of the Marianne Williamson, Michael Beckwith, all the biggies, and her. And, you know, I watched the evolution of this process. And as they coached her along and coached, and she had fear. Trust me, she had fear. But she did it anyway. And there it was. And, I mean, it was living proof to me. In fact, even in the foreword of the book, she thanks the team. It was living proof to me that it's really there, and our trust is really so critical for everyone. But again, it was not a direction she thought she was going.
Did the actual matter of the book, the content of the book, did that change?
Content of the book is so powerful that I have not yet been able to get through the one chapter she sent me.
But did it change from her original plan, you know?
It evolved.
Hmm.
And what they told her is every chapter, and they would help her with chapters, every chapter was going to be another book.
Hmm.
And it is such a, it's so imbued. It has not even been formally published yet. It doesn't come out till January. And opportunities already, people are looking for international rights to publish, and she's just being inundated. So to me, this is living proof of you know, what we talk about. And they want two more books from her. They want, you know, titles already. And she'd never written a book before, by the way. She'd started one. It was something about her own life. And we're moving along in time. Vision, and I want to get to this real quick, and gratitude. Gratitude is an energy. It's a gift. Gratitude is so powerful. Again, Lazar's tape on gratitude. The more gratitude you feel, the more reasons you have to feel it. Look for everything that you can be grateful for. And I think when we're struggling, that's what we don't do. Vision. There's a wonderful technique, and we only have a few minutes here, 33-second technique. And you can also type that in on Lazarus. And what it is, get yourself a little egg timer, 33 seconds. Create a vision before you do it of how it's going to look, being what it is you desire, where it is, your clothes, everything, the setting. You hold it for 33 seconds with as much emotion as you can muster. It's brilliant. It does work. You're setting the energies. Couple of great books, Abraham, Ask and It Is Given, and The Law of Attraction, both brilliant. Very simple and very wonderful principles. Sometimes we get so complex that we forget. Vision, Ronnie, with you, I know you want your television show, and I want to reach larger audiences and do intensives. And some of your visions are just to make a difference. Healing modalities, you know, they're being born in everyone right now. Leave it open. Let the universe, you want to make a difference, let the universe start delivering the ways and the means. Follow the signs, but do something. Do something. Take classes, read books, I don't care what it is. Keep expanding. In closing, I just want to read this. I'm sorry, we just had so much information tonight. This is from Debbie Ford about the dark side of expectation, and I think this is very powerful for where we are right now. Are you interested in a peaceful life, a saner life, and a richer life? Do you seem to get jammed up with upsets, both large and small? If you do, and if you're ready for a shift, read on. Expectancy might be the most disruptive state of consciousness that you experience. Why, you might ask? Because every time you expect something and it doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen the way you think it should, you get disappointed. To remind you of this essential truth, let me say it again. Every time we expect something to happen, it doesn't. We're thrown into an upset. Whether we're expecting our children to behave like angels, our partner to communicate their needs, or a coworker to deliver a project on time. When it doesn't go our way, upset. Whether we believe we will get a relaxing break when a project is done or we'll have more clients next month, when the results we're waiting for don't arrive, we get upset and disappointed, sometimes hurt and often frustrated and angry. When calls go unanswered or we don't lose a few pounds after we've been trying so hard, our expectations go unfulfilled and we're thrown into upset. Disappointment and hurt equal frustration, stress, and chaos. This week, demand a breakthrough of yourself. Each day, keep a journal with all your expectations. Notice what happens when they are met, probably a good feeling. And notice what happens when they're not, upset.